I want to turn again in 1 Samuel chapter 10, please, as we read God's word together. 1 Samuel chapter 10, and let's read from verse 17. This is the word of the Lord, and may he bless it to us. Then Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah, and said to the children of Israel, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all kingdoms and from those who opposed you. But you have today rejected your God, who himself saved you from all your adversaries and your tribulations. And you have said to him, 'No, set a king over us.' Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans." And when Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was chosen. And Saul the son of Kish was chosen. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further, "Has the man come here yet?" And the Lord answered, "There he is, hidden among the equipment." So they ran and brought him from there, and when he stood among the people, he was taller than all the people from his shoulders upward. And Samuel said to all the people, "Do you see him, whom the Lord has chosen, that there is no one like him among all the people?" So all the people shouted and said, "Long live the king." Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in a book and led it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and valiant men went with him, whose hearts God had touched. But some rebels said, "How can this man save us?" So they despised him and brought him no presents, but he himself held his peace. Amen, and may God speak to us from his word this morning. On occasion, when you ask a child that question, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" Now and again, you will always find a child and they will respond by saying, "I want to be the Prime Minister." Got to admire their ambition. "I want to be the Prime Minister." But, you know, if you had to put that question to Saul, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" He certainly would not have replied by saying, "I want to be the Prime Minister." He certainly wouldn't have come back to you and said, "I want to be the king of Israel." Because he didn't. He didn't. And this passage shows us that very, very clearly. Saul didn't want to be the king. And so in an attempt to get out of it, whenever Samuel presented him to the people and said, "This is going to be your king," he was nowhere to be seen. He was hiding in the equipment. We see that in verses 20 to 22. When Samuel had caused all the tribes of Israel to come near, the tribe of Benjamin was chosen. Verse 21, and Saul the son of Kish was chosen. But when they sought him, he could not be found. Then they inquired of the Lord further, "Has the man come here yet? Where is Saul?" In other words, the Lord answered, "There he is, hiding in the equipment." So Saul certainly didn't want this. He never wanted to be king. And he tried his very best to get out of it by hiding himself from it. And you know, as we thought with the children this morning, that reminds us that God will at times ask us to do things that we don't want to do. will ask us to do things at times that we really don't want to do. Really don't want to do. And I hope that scares you this morning. So I do. And I say that very lovingly. Because sometimes we can coast along in this little bubble, thinking God will never ask me to do this or that or the other. He will never take me out of my comfort zone. But that's not the God I see here at all. I see a God who will at times ask us to do things that we really don't want to do and we really feel we can't do. I wish I could stand up here this morning and say, whenever I sense God's call in my life, that I responded and that I came willingly and that I bowed before the Lord and said, have your own way, Lord. But I can't say that. I can't say that at all. Indeed, whenever I first sensed God's call upon my life into ministry, for about 10 days, I can put it no other way other than God had to sit on me. God had to work in me. So he had to. He had to break me right down because I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to go that way. So this morning we see from Saul that at times God will ask us to do things that we maybe think we can't do, or maybe things that we really don't want to do. And I think it's worth remembering that, you know, as a member of the church, whenever needs arise, whenever needs are made known in the church, whether it be for Sunday school teachers or whatever the need is, always to remember Saul. You may not want to do it, but God may want you to do it. And so in an attempt to get out of this, he was hiding. He was hiding. So he was. He was hiding in the equipment. That's where he was. You get a sense of what this man was like. He really didn't want to do this. So he didn't. And so he was hiding. And I remember in my own life, whenever God was starting to work in me, listening to a song that the CEF choir had sang. And it says, are you running away from Jesus? Are you hiding from him by just staying where you are? That was a real challenge to me. Are you hiding from what God wants you to do by just staying where you are? It's possible to be hiding from God, possible to be hiding from what God wants us to be doing. I wonder this morning, is that true of anyone? Maybe hiding from what God would have you to do. Hiding from service for the Lord in these days. But why was he hiding? Why did he not want to be king? What was so bad about it? Well, in one sense, you can understand why he was hiding. So you can. One sense, you can't point the finger at him and say, that was awful, Saul. I mean, look what it was he was being called to do. He was being called to be king of Israel. He was being called to be the first king of Israel. So he was. Israel never had a king before. This was new territory for him. And you can understand why he didn't want to be king. He was hiding because he was daunted by the whole thing. He was just overwhelmed by what God was asking him to do. And sometimes that's how we feel when God asks us to do something. We feel daunted. We feel completely overwhelmed. So we do. And you know, there is a sense that we should. There is a sense that whenever God asks us to do something, that we should feel daunted. That we should feel overwhelmed. There should be that sense that I can't do this. This is too big. This is service for God at the end of the day. And who of us are up to that? None of us are up to that. And so there is that sense that we should feel as Saul felt, that we should feel daunted, that we should be overwhelmed by what God is asking us to do. Maybe it's to teach a Sunday school class. Maybe it's to do a children's talk. Maybe it's to go to Granville and stand in the outreach. There mustn't be that blasé attitude and say, I'll do that. That's right up my street. There should be that sense in which we feel daunted and overwhelmed by it, just as Saul was. He recognized the seriousness of what God was asking him to do. He was recognizing that it would take commitment. And he wanted to make sure that he could give all that it required. And whenever God asks us to do something, we too need to ask those questions. Can I commit to this? Can I be there? Can I give to this what is required? There's that sense he was just daunted and overwhelmed, and that was healthy, that was good. But another reason why he was hiding, really, at the end of it all, what was God asking Saul to do? God was asking Saul to be a king, but to be a leader. A leader. Is it any wonder he was hiding? He was being asked to be a leader of God's people. And that's hard. And Saul recognized that. To be a leader of the people of God, that brings a huge responsibility. And it's no wonder that he went and he hid. But you know, God has always had people to lead his flock. So he has. And leadership is not at all easy. So it's not. And in the church today, God has a system and a structure whereby the church is to be led through elders and deacons. And there can be the danger that when we're asked to do that, that we can hide from leadership. We don't want it because it's hard. It's time consuming. So it is. But that's what God was asking Saul to do. He was asking him to be a leader. And friends, can I ask you this morning to pray for the leadership of this church, to pray for the elders and the deacons of this church here at Gardmerin? You know, it's hard being an elder or deacon. But you know, it's even harder when a church is in a building program. Friends, there is not a deacon, there is not an elder, there is not a pastor in the country today who has 10 years experience behind them who would want to go to a church and be a deacon or be an elder or be a pastor in a church that's in the middle of a building project. There's not one in the country would want it. And what I want to say this morning, folks, will you pray for the elders and deacons of this church? Can I pay tribute to the elders and deacons of this church? Those men who haven't hid in the stuff, hid in the equipment. Those men who have put themselves forward. Those men who have stepped up to the mark. And those men who have taken on to give leadership throughout this building project. And I pay tribute to the deacons and all the work that they do in this respect. It's no wonder he was hiding at all. He was daunted by the task. He was daunted by the task of leadership. And that's enough to daunt anyone. So it is. But you notice here this morning too, folks, God knew where Saul was hiding. God knew where he was hiding. I mean, this story has the potential to be embarrassing for Samuel and embarrassing for God. Because God, through Samuel, announces to the people, Saul is your king. And they turn around to present him. And Saul's nowhere to be seen. He's hiding. So he is. He's hiding. It's embarrassing for Samuel. Where are you, Saul? God has chosen you. Where is he? And so what do they do in verse 22? They ask God. They turn to God and they inquire of God, where is he? Has he not come yet? The Lord answered and he said, there he is, hiding in the equipment. There he is, hiding in the equipment. God knew where Saul was hiding. Not good to know. God knew where Saul was hiding. Don't we read in Genesis 16 and 13, thou, Lord, seest me. Thou, Lord, seest me. It's good to know that God knows where we are. It's good to know, unsettling to know that God even knows at times where we're hiding. God knew where Saul was. He is the all-seeing God. He is the all-knowing God. And maybe this morning you feel as though no one sees you. You feel that no one cares about you. But here we see the all-seeing God who knew where Saul was hiding, who knew what Saul was thinking. And he just has to turn to Samuel and say, Samuel, there he is, hiding amongst the equipment. That's an encouragement, friends, as we go out on a Monday morning, as you go out into the milking parlor on a Monday morning, as you go into the office, as you stand at the sink, wherever you might be, that is he is the all-seeing God. God knew where Saul was. But something else quite amazing about this. God still wanted Saul to be king. God still wanted Saul to be king. Saul had made it clear to God he didn't want to be king. Saul had used every excuse in the book. Now he's taking it one step further. He's trying to hide from it. So he is. But isn't it amazing? God still wanted him to be king. And we see that in verse 24. Because after they find Saul and they bring Saul out, Samuel said to the people again, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? There is no one like him among all the people. So all the people shouted and said, long live the king. Saul has tried to get out of it. Saul has hid, made it clear to God he doesn't want to do it. But God still wants him to be king. And he confirms that. Because through Samuel he says, now people, do you see your king? Do you see the man whom God has chosen to be king? What does that tell us about God? It tells us about his patience. It tells us about his patience. I thank God he was patient with me for 10 days. I thank God that he gave me those 10 days and worked in my heart and changed my thinking when I first sensed his call upon my life. If it was you and I know if it was me, and I asked someone to do something and they said, no, I don't want to do it, I'm not sure I would go back to them. I think I'd go to someone else. So I would. But here is a God who's patient with us. So he is. And maybe this morning, God has been speaking, God has been saying, there's something I want you to do. I want you to serve in church in this way. I want you to get that wee bit more involved. Or maybe it's something bigger than that even. But maybe you've been hiding, maybe just by staying where you are, been saying no, saying I can't, I'm not the best person. And yet God in his patience comes to you this morning and says, I still want you. Still want you to do this. Still want you to do this. See, he's a patient God. Patient God. He knew where Saul was hiding. He knew Saul. He still wanted Saul to be king. And he also knew that at times Saul would feel out of place. Let's read verses 23 and 24 together. And you get the sense here that this man, Saul, feels awkward and conspicuous and is just sticking out like a sore thumb. He just doesn't fit in here. Look at verse 23. Remember, he's been hiding. So they ran and brought him from there. And when he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upwards. And Saul said to all the people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen? That there is No one like him among all the people. So all the people shouted, "Long live the king." And you really have to feel for him. When I read verse 23, I smiled. Because it says, as he stood among the people, he was taller than any of the people from his shoulders upward. And that took me back to whenever I was in Sunday school. Standing up singing in the choir when I was about 18. Well, not quite. And about 4 foot taller than all the other children in the choir. And you just felt so conspicuous. And this is how Saul felt, standing amongst the people, this tall, handsome man. He doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to do this. And to make things worse, the people start singing and chanting, "Long live the king! Long live the king!" And he felt out of place. So he did. He thought, this can't be right. This can't be where God wants me. Samuel, you've got it wrong. But God reassures him. God reassures him. In verse 24, the Lord says, "Look, do you see the one the Lord has chosen? There is none like him among all the people." This is the one the Lord has chosen. And I believe Samuel said that as much for Saul's benefit as the people's benefits. He knew that Saul felt out of place. He knew that Saul felt awkward and conspicuous and not up to this. And just for his benefit, God through Samuel says, "Look at Saul, whom God has chosen." And friends, what I learned from that is this. It's possible to be in the will of God. It's possible to be doing what God wants us to do and to feel out of place. Feel awkward. Feel that we don't fit in. That's possible. That's possible. So it is. Very often when we're in the will of God, doing what God wants us to do, serving in the way he wants us to serve, it may feel uncomfortable. It may not always feel that this is the right fit for us. That's, I think, how Saul must have felt on this occasion. Even when we're where God wants us, we can certainly feel out of place. So we can. You know, I've often heard people say to me, "Colin, I don't feel I fit in church. I don't feel I fit in that church." And I think this is a mistake we make. I think that with this idea, we've got to fit in. We've got to feel like we fit in. It's not realistic. It's not realistic. You know why it's not realistic? It's not realistic for me to feel I've got to fit in, because you know what? I am a selfish sinner. I am a selfish sinner. And whenever I don't get my own way, that doesn't sit well with me. And none of us are any different. And whenever I don't get my way in church, it can leave me feeling a wee bit uneasy. And then I pull out this card and I play it. Oh, I don't fit in there. I don't fit in there. I think we'll have to stop talking like that. About fitting in. About fitting in. Fitting in is a choice. So it is. It's a choice we make. So it is. Just because we are where God wants us to be doesn't mean that we will always feel warm and cozy and fitting in. Not the case. Saul didn't feel that at all. He felt as though he stuck out, and he felt so conspicuous. So he did. Then just a few other thoughts as we draw to an end of the passage. We see in verse 26, God knew what Saul needed. God knew what Saul needed. He was being called to be the king of Israel. They never had a king before. They were never ruled by a monarchy before. He sensed the responsibility upon his shoulders, and God knew he needed help. Because it says in verse 26, Saul also went home to Gibeah, and valiant men, I love this, valiant men went with him whose hearts God had touched. Isn't that lovely? He wasn't having to do it himself. God had given him some helpers. It said he went home and valiant men went with him whose hearts God had touched. Whose hearts God had touched. You know, before we can serve God, God has to touch our hearts. God has to change us. So he does. But you know, we see the principle even being laid down here. Saul isn't going to do it all himself. He's got men with him to help. Men, valiant men, men of courage. Men of courage and strength. Men whose hearts God has touched. Hearts God has touched. And I thank God this morning for the office bearers in this church. I thank God for those men who give sacrificially of their time and their expertise to stand alongside me and to shoulder the work. And so we see that principle being laid down here, and we see it running right through to the end of Scripture. We're not to do it ourselves, but rather we see that there's to be a team involved. God knew what Saul needed. He needed help. He needed help. And also God knew Saul would face opposition. You know, for a long time they've been crying out for a king. We want a king. Now they've got a king. Some of them aren't happy. Verse 27, but some rebels said, how can this man save us? They were right, he couldn't. They were right, he couldn't. Only God could. But they were saying, how can this man save us? And they despised him. And they brought him no presents. But he held his peace. He knew he would face opposition. Knew he would face opposition. And you know, sometimes we make this mistake. You know, when we're serving God, wherever it is, on the mission field, at home, in a church, in Sunday school, in youth, wherever it is, once we encounter a wee little bit of opposition, we think, oh, what have I done wrong? I mustn't be in God's will. Not the case here. Saul was where God wanted him. So he was, even though he faced opposition. But you know, I think the thing that speaks volumes about Saul here is the last five words of verse 27. There were people opposing him. These rebels, talks about them. Men whose hearts God hadn't touched. Perhaps ungodly men. But it says, but he held his peace. He held his peace. And I think we're starting to see now why God chose Saul. Here is a man who, under facing great opposition, being provoked by these rebels, says he held his peace. Held his peace. That's a mark of a man that knows the Lord and trusts his all to the Lord and is trusting in God for his everything. What do you want to be when you grow up? Saul certainly didn't want to be a king. But that's exactly what God chose him to be. Let's just pray.